Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth, for the word, for your Son, Father. Father, be with us this day. We pray for knowledge, wisdom, and thy guidance. In the precious name of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Amen. It is true that many times we ask for things, we receive them, and many times we don't realize it was received because we really don't fully understand what we asked for in the beginning. So if you are to follow in Christ's footsteps, then let's go this morning, if we may, in the 15th chapter of St. John and study just a little, if we may, of his teachings, what is required that you should follow him. And we'll begin with chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, that is the power structure. That is the power structure. Christ is the vine. His Father cares for that vine. Husbandman means farmer in today's language. 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So if he ever purges you just a little bit, it's for a purpose. It's so that you bring forth fruit. Because any plant that does not bear fruit is a plant that is not left in the garden. It's not left on the vine. Do you bring forth fruit in his season? All right? Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. How are we clean? Through the word that he spoke, which is the word you have in your hand. 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. In other words, there's only one way. There's only one way you can be fruitful. Or you can... you can progress in this life, in this world age, but you're not storing up anything for that is to come. There's only one way, one door, and that is in the footsteps of Christ. That way that he has shown. Follow him. Don't lead. He does the leading. 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There's no way, beloved, you can be a blessing to many, many people except you have him in your heart. When he is in your heart, his very spirit mirrors in your eyes. People like to have you around because you lift them. You bless them. You don't even have to mention Christianity, religion. It shows. They know. 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Of course, this is in a prophetic sense looking toward the end. It is given in this wise because when you prune something or hedge it, that's what you do with what is left over in many cases. It was in this day and this age, and he means that this, the soul, will be destroyed at the end of the millennium. If it has not followed, if you would, in his footsteps. 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, this is I want to be the theme in a way. When you ask for it, in a sense, you get it, see? Of course, being the Father's will. But you see, many times we ask for something, we receive it, and we're not fully aware. Or we are not thinking in the level that we should be to understand when it is given. 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You know, it pleases our Father when you tell him you love him. You're his child. When one of your own children looks to you and says, Mom or Dad, I love you. It lifts your heart. Magnify that many times and know how it makes the Father feel when you tell him that you love him. 9, as the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Remember, this is the vine, the Father is the husbandman or the trimmer thereof. 11, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Beloved, let me tell you something. There's only one true joy in this world, and that is knowing its purpose and its meaning, the Father's plan in it, the total plan, the overall plan. People only fear the unknown. People only fear that they must dread. For if you know what's coming, you prepare yourself to deal with it in one way or another. This is joy. 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. There's a very special reason in it. These are not empty words. You are to love one another in Christ. Because you see, the world is a wicked old world. And I speak of this world age. It'll deal you a rough blow now and then. So be good to each other when you're in his sanctuary, which is any time you are gathered in the Spirit. 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of course, Jesus was about to be crucified to pay the price for you all, for the world. Verse 14. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. If you follow these teachings. 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In other words, these truths that the Father has told me through this word, you have it in your hand, beloved, his plan. And if you are a student of the word, you know that his prophecies have come to pass exactly, line on line. Man cannot do this. It proves, in fact, that he is real. 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, did it say that these people volunteered? They didn't volunteer. He chose them, the same as he chooses the elect in the last day. If God has chosen you to plant his seeds, to tend his garden, it doesn't matter what you want to do. In time, in life, he will bring you to that place where you will do as the Father so ordained. Well, the elect have a destiny and a purpose. They don't just drift from one day to the next in this life age, for there is a new age coming very soon. 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Again, that's sanctioned. Care about each other. If you don't do that, you lose all in this world age. 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Yes, the world hated Christ, why do you expect it to love you? Are you better than he? 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Excuse me. I want you to listen to these words very carefully, these next two verses. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. If someone listens to me, they will listen to you. 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He brought the truth. All right, now let's stop and analyze just a moment. People look at Christ and they see and think in the human mind glory. Oh, if I could be like Christ, if I could be like Jesus, if I could follow exactly in his footsteps, and they picture in the mind them these glorious times of healing and raising. A friend of mine prayed in this wise for some time. Father, Let me walk in Jesus' footsteps. Do you know what happened to this one? The family turned upon this person. Her own brothers and sisters did not cooperate. The world was wicked, wicked to her. And she went back in prayer and said, Lord, I wanted to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. But you see, what she didn't know, he had heard her prayer. He answered it. Do you think that Jesus' family did not turn on him? Do you pray to walk in his footsteps and expect to find happiness in the world? Understand what I'm talking about, the ways of the world. This world age. Our age is coming. When you pray to walk in his footsteps, he will let you. It will bring you persecution. The world will hate you when you teach the truth. And in that wise, you are walking in the footsteps of Jesus. This is why he told you to love one another, beloved, for in the sanctuary of those that have ears to hear and eyes to see, you are away from and out of that persecution, that disloyalty that is in the world today. How fortunate you are that you can love him and those that serve him. So you see, when you pray many times and it's answered, just because you didn't see just glory and nothing else, did you expect to walk through this earth unscathed, untouched, without offense, and they crucified him? You complain if a little hurt comes along and they nailed him to the cross? And you ask to walk in his footsteps and complain at the trouble of this world? Beloved, remember what you asked for. It's not an easy path. He didn't promise it to be an easy path in the world. In him, yes. He overcomes all. Oh, it's so easy to use somatics. But then you withdraw and you don't face the truth. You're in a real world. You're a real person. This is a real battle between Satan and God. Our human mind many times does not allow itself to expand, to take in all things that pertain to a question or a plea to him. You want to know what you're asking for when you ask him. Because sometimes you may be asking for something you can't bear. And to walk in the footsteps of Jesus without him is impossible. You couldn't bear it. But with him, if he is in you, then you have everything. Life takes a total different look. Rather than being dark, it begins to lighten. Every load you touch lightens. It doesn't matter that they persecute you because you have already the wisdom and the knowledge to know they don't understand. And you can forgive them and overlook those petty things of this world. So if you ask again to walk in his footsteps, know that you're asking to trod the path that he tread, leading the way. It wasn't all a rose garden. Where did we get to? Let's go with 23 and continue on. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Anyone that does not accept Jesus Christ hates God also. As it is written in the epistles of John, if you do not have Christ, you don't even have God. It doesn't do you any good to pray if you don't pray through Christ. 24. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, that they had not had sin, but now have they both sinned and hated both me and my Father. They don't like it. Well, beloved, the world still doesn't. They still run from the truth. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. This is the rabbinic law, if you would. They hated me without a cause. And that scripture was fulfilled at his death. But praise God, he raised from that death. 26. But when the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father. He didn't say, maybe I will. He says, I will. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. In other words, even you in this generation. See, this was 2,000 years ago almost. That Spirit will touch your heart when he calls you. and put you in His service. You don't escape that service. He won't let you go. If you were chosen before the foundations of this earth, then you have nothing to say in the matter, sooner or later. 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. True, he was talking to the disciples here. They had been with him from the beginning of his ministry, but it goes further than that, as you're going to find in a moment. It goes back to the beginning of time, and you were with him. Let's continue into 16, a few verses. These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. In other words, these things are going to happen. I don't want you to be offended in the world when it roughs you up just a little bit. Expect it. 2 chapter 16. They shall put ye out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. In other words, there is a time coming, especially, let's amplify that just a little bit. The Antichrist is going to come very soon. And this is why it is written in Mark that you'll be delivered up before the synagogue. Think not what you will say beforehand, but this Comforter, this Holy Spirit, would speak through you. All right? And they're going to call for your death. But don't you be afraid. God said, touch not mine anointed. Touch not mine elect. In the 9th chapter of Revelation, he gave Satan power to only touch those that have not the seal of God in their forehead, which simply means that he could not deceive those that had the truth in their mind. You know that this false one is coming. And when the Christians of this world believe that he is the Messiah, they will call for your death. It won't be granted. In the two witnesses' case, it shall. Verse 3. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. He said, prepare yourself. If you're going to walk in these footsteps, it's going to happen. Should this depress you? No, rather it should rejoice. You should rejoice in it, because you can handle it. In him it is no burden, and he shall not burden you with more than you can bear. When the pain stacks up a little bit, say thank you, Lord, because he's trimming the vine, the branch, just a little bit, because you're not quite up to par just yet to suit him. If he rocks your old boat a little bit, you'd better stop and think and say, Lord, what is it? And shape up. Because he's going to shape you up in one form or the other. 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. It is written. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? Beloved, let me tell you something. His teachings, when you understand them, in the simplicity in which he set them, you know, it's when man starts making them difficult that confusion sets in. For man's wisdom is foolishness to God. You see, he warned beforehand. It is written. That Comforter touches many lives every day. Right? But was this the only warning? No, we're going to continue on into the 17th chapter. And this is where he went out and he was praying to our Father. It was the end of his ministry on earth in the flesh, more or less. And he prayed. And this was his prayer to the Father concerning you. Yes, even you here in the last day. Let's go to the 13th verse of the 17th chapter of St. John. With this same thought in mind, walking and following in the footsteps of Jesus. 13, and now come I to thee. He knew he was about to be crucified and that he would be raised. And these things I speak in the world, in this world age, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In other words, beloved, if you want his joy, you must accept and understand these things. He didn't promise you a rose garden. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let me tell you something. Ephesians chapter 1. You were chose. This is the elect before the foundations of the world. If you were chose, justified, and found innocent, chosen whereby you could come at this time to stand against the Antichrist, then you can see why that you are not of this world in that sense. In other words, you have nothing to gain or to lose but to serve Him and the people if you be one of God's election for the last hour. 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. He didn't want you taken out of the, where you couldn't feel the pricks of the thorn, but that they shouldest keep, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Don't let that evil one deceive them. Don't let him corrupt their mind. 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Continuing in 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, beloved, let me tell you something. Do you really want to, when you're troubled, when you're depressed, when things don't go to suit you, the answer is here. The answer is with Him. The answer comes from the Holy Spirit. Turn to Him. Lean on Him. Hand it to Him. When you can't handle it, say, Father, I'm at that point. Take it to, and show me. I promise you. I don't have to promise you. He did. He will hear you. He will answer you. But make sure you understand what you ask for. Okay. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Yes, this world age. 19. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Where are you sanctified, beloved? Through the truth. Learn the truth. It'll set you free. You won't have any anxieties. You won't have hang-ups, etc. We'll conclude with this verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. This is the remnant that passed the word. He was praying for you today as you sit in this chapel or as you sit in this tape audience. He was praying for you even to this point. For He knew the hardships that this world would bring you. But He gave you the tools with which to overcome them. What was His number one commandment in it? Love one another. Beloved, the greatest comfort that you can have is fellowship with like-minded people. People that understand what is happening in this world today or even 500 years ago, to know the truth at that time and understand it, that God had a destiny and a purpose and a plan. All He wants is for His children to love Him. So you see, this one that prayed, let me walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and mentally thought of the glory of being near Him. Not selfishly, openly, and unashamedly, wanting to be near Him, but thinking in the mind, oh, that would be a great walk. The glory, the honor, the beauty involved therein. See, that was not what truly this person was asking for. This person, when she asked to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, was asking to be persecuted by this world age. Asking that hardships would be heaped upon her in the world age. Not in her own self, or within herself, or he within her, but from the world. For the world is controlled by Satan. At this time, it is His hour. And you have a purpose here. And again, and I'm repeating myself, He didn't promise you any rose garden. He promised you happiness as long as you understand His plan, as long as you stay where He would have you. But there is a time coming soon when there will be a happiness and a bliss that we cannot even comprehend at this time. In these flesh bodies, you always have something that is a discomfort to you in one form or the other, even if it's the way you're sitting for a period of time. You're uncomfortable in the flesh. Well, there is a time coming soon when there's going to be a change. But have faith in Him. If He says a thing, you can believe it. Listen. He stated that the Kenites would establish a nation in 1948 in Jerusalem. He stated that peace talks would begin around January the 1st, that is to say, among the world powers. I refer to the Camp David Peace Accord in the book of Daniel, which was written 2,500 years ago, that they would begin on or approximately January the 1st, 1978. They began Christmas Day, 5 days away, 1977. You see, his word is complete. Man cannot plan things that perfect. It is that you must have eyes to see and ears to understand. So, when you walk in his footsteps, and the first little thing upsets you, poor baby. All right. Poor baby. Come on, pick yourself up. Pick yourself up. You stand straight up. Don't you whimper. Don't you complain. You think of him as he was on that cross and they were mocking him at his feet, gambling even for his clothing, spitting in his direction, offering vinegar and gall to his lips in that parching sun. Think of it. And then you stop your complaining when you follow his footsteps. Just praise him that you have the opportunity, for it is a God-given opportunity to even try to fill those footsteps or follow in them. Let us approach his throne. Heavenly Father, oh Father, we do thank you. We thank you, Father, for the ministries that you have brought this way this day, Father, the ministries and music, Father, those beautiful words. We thank thee, Father, for thy Son, and Father, grant us strength and protection as we follow in those steps, Father, humbly, not trying at any way to absorb the glory which belongs only to him, but only to serve, Father. We ask this in the precious name of Yahshua, Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Amen. And as we continue this lecture concerning in the footsteps of Jesus, you must remember that that one that made that prayer when, Jesus, just let me follow in your footsteps, when his family or her family turned on her, when things began to go sour all over for her, and she realized that this was, in fact, Jesus' footsteps, because his own turned against him. The apostles, how many were with him the night he was crucified? Even Peter denied him three times. So you see, when you walk in the footsteps of Jesus, and you, in a sense, the elect here in the last day, are going to do his service as his servants here in this generation. I have told you many times that you must be mentally prepared for those things that shall confront us in the very near future. Tonight we're going to talk about some of the very basic things that are going to confront you, that you must be mentally prepared to absorb and understand, excuse me, and react. But you must react in the way that Christ would have you react. For in a sense, you are following his footsteps as his servant in this last day. Was it not written in the 8th chapter of Romans that you were predestined before the foundations of the earth, that you were chosen at that time, called out? You didn't volunteer. He calls you. He chose you because of what you had done. And he says in that 8th chapter of Romans, I will intercede in your life. To bring about my purpose and to accomplish my plan in the last days. Beloved, if you are to do those things, then you must know what it is that is written concerning that hour and that time. With that thought in mind, let us first of all take the mechanics. By this I mean, what could you expect to see physically? You will remember Ezekiel, as he was standing by the river Shebar, as the prophet was told of these times, and a highly polished bronze vehicle with the throne of God in the midst of it approached him.
Are you equipped mentally to understand a thing like that? I'm not saying that he shall return in a highly polished bronze vehicle, but I am telling you that in the Hebrew manuscripts there is record whereby the Father himself appeared in such a vehicle. Go with me, chapter 1, book of Ezekiel. By the river Shebar he was in verse 3, picking it up in verse 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber. Now, there is no such word in the Hebrew tongue as color. This is highly polished. Amber is bronze, all right, out of the midst of the fire. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. This is four living beings in the Hebrew. There's no great mystery to it. But then it describes on how this wheel is within a wheel and how dreadful the sound was from the outer rings of this vehicle. Are you prepared mentally? You see, this happened probably 500 years before Christ, plus it didn't bother Ezekiel a great deal after he understood who it was. So you must be prepared mentally. Now, at the same time, and I'm not going to qualify this, a vehicle can be very silent. It can appear to be even a cloud, if you would. That's why clouds, and remember what a whirlwind. This was a whirling, and the wind is ruach in the Hebrew tongue, which is spirit. All right? He's just simply saying this thing come up circling like a whirlwind, appearing to be. All right? There was no other way that in his vocabulary that he could describe this thing. Now, we have had all sorts of reports as to what is called today UFOs. Well, I'm not necessarily a UFO fan, but the vehicles are recorded in God's Word. When our Heavenly Father approached this earth, he was recorded his throne to be aboard one of these craft in more places than one. Okay? So that handles the mechanics of it. The reason I bring this out is if the Father approaches in one of these, then the Antichrist shall also. You see, everything that Jesus does, Satan imitates. He is the great imitator, and this is why the people of this world will be deceived if they're not very, very careful. Because they study one side, and one side only. They are told there is one Christ. Most people. But you see, there are two Christs. There is the true Christ, and there is the false Christ. If you are not totally and completely informed, educated, and mentally prepared to stand against the false Christ, you'll worship him. He will deceive you. Many people that just say, oh, all I need is pie in the sky, and by, he'll hustle me off. You're going to be hustled off by the wrong Christ. You must know. It is written. You have no excuse. So don't let your laziness, and as much as studying God's Word is concerned, don't use it as a crutch, or it's a crutch that's going to snap and let you fall right into the mire of deception that will be upon the world. Jesus gave us seven signs in the book of Matthew as how things would be at the very end. In that one chapter alone, seven events of how things would be. And yet people humdrum along. They don't cover those events. They don't attempt to understand them. Let's single out, if we may, the deception, the great deception of all deceptions, and that is the Antichrist. Now, people get around him for more reasons, in more ways than one. They say, in the Greek, anti means against, and that anyone that is against Christ is Antichrist, so there you have your Antichrist, and they show their ignorance. For anti in the Greek is not against, is related, or the value of it in the English. It is instead of Christ. Anytime you are going to pretend to be a Yahshua, then you're going to have to look like Yahshua. Satan is far too intelligent to let a political system or any being anti or whatever You see, he is supernatural also. And that is why human beings are not equipped to avert the deception in this last hour unless you are mentally prepared. Will there be an Antichrist? Turn with me, Matthew 24. And when I say Antichrist, I speak of that one that looks like the lamb slain, only he speaks with the voice of a dragon because he is the dragon, which the dragon and the power that it is used there. I'm going to change horses right in the middle of the stream there. We're going to Mark 13, okay? Rather than Matthew 24. Let's go to Mark 13. It is written in both places. It's a little clearer, I believe, in Mark to follow. Mark 13. Let's just analyze one of the roundabout, but probably the most direct teaching of Christ, the fact that there would be an Antichrist. The reason I like this particular example, because not only does it let you know there shall be an individual, personal, false Christ, but it also tells you where he will be standing. It tells you where he will appear. Furthermore, it makes it very clear as to who he will appear to. Okay? So let's pick it up, if we may, Mark chapter 13 and verse 14. Again, let me fix the study. The apostles have asked Christ, what shall it be at the end of this world? How long shall it be when you return to this earth? And he gave these seven examples. 14, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand, and let them that be in Judea. Where, geographically speaking, Judea, flee to the mountains. I'm going to give you a little short lesson in both Hebrew and Greek here. The word that, you notice that it is used in that sentence. In the Greek language, it is what is addressed that determines whether it is an object related to as it, or that, or whatever. If it is an entity, if it is a woman, naturally it is she. Or, if it happens to be of the male gender, which in this particular case it is, then the word, of course, here should be he, standing where he ought not. Now, why am I mentioning an entity? Because when you go back to Daniel, and when you look at this so-called desolation, that isn't what it says in the Hebrew. Daniel did not speak of a desolation. Properly translated in the Hebrew, it can be only one thing. Desolator. That's why that Moffat, many of you that have Moffat Bibles, the word would have been used, he, in this verse. Because Moffat was a scholar both of Hebrew and Greek. And knew that it was talking of the Antichrist. So, this is one of your better places. Now, many of you have studied with me in the book of Daniel, and you know and understand. All you have to do is, it's very simple, take a strong concordance, go to this place where Daniel is speaking of this abomination of the desolator. The abomination, beloved, is simply Satan claiming to be Christ. That's an abomination in anyone's book, especially our fathers. The sad part is our people have let non-Christians do their translating for them, and they will read whatever is placed before them and accept it. Without question, usually. So you see, Christ was saying here. Let, I tell you what, skip on down in that Mark 13. Let's go to verse 21. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Why would Christ be warning against himself? Else there was going to be a false Christ. 22, for false Christ and false prophet shall rise. Now, did it say maybe? Christ said they shall. And shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Beloved, you are that elect. Now, when we talk about these signs and miracles and wonders, we're not talking about little common everyday things. We're not talking about pulling a handkerchief out of my pocket and go, poof, it's all red, are playing tricks for people. These are going to be miracles done by a supernatural being that you are not equipped to handle unless you are mentally prepared. Now, what kind of signs and miracles does a Christ perform? Well, look at Jesus when he walked the earth. He healed. He raised up. He tried to bring peace. So expect this one to do the same. He's the greatest imitator of all kinds. Do you know why Jesus said, you Pharisees, you scribes, you hypocrites? Do you know what that word hypocrites means in the Greek language? Play actors. That's all they are, is a bunch of fakes, play actors, pretending to be something they're not. That is even going as far as pretending to be God's chosen people. And they've done a very good job, the Kenites have, of forcing our people or leading our people into believing it. If you don't believe me, go out and try to convince one of them of who the Kenite actually is. Back here when Jesus said, but when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken, did he say, maybe you're going to see this desolator standing in the holy place? That's where Judea is, Jerusalem. Did Christ say, maybe you're going to see this desolator standing in Jerusalem? He said, you will. He says, when? It wasn't a matter of if, it was when you see him there. So you see, beloved, you must be mentally prepared. You have a destiny. You have a purpose in life. Christ chose you. Don't be lazy. Don't be one of these pie in the sky, leave it all to prayer Christians. For it is written in God's Word as to where, when, and how, and there's no other place you're going to learn it. Oh, but if I just hold still, Christ will show me. He hates laziness. There's nothing wrong with you cracking open a Bible occasionally and trusting yourself to document a little bit of God's Word, because there are many pie-in-the-sky scholars that are going to end up worshiping the Antichrist because they're not mentally prepared. They're waiting for the first supernatural being that comes along to lead them. Well, I got news for you. There's a supernatural human being coming along that can make you think, if you don't know otherwise, that he is the Holy Spirit. That it is Christ leading you. You see, he's real good. Now, these in the teachings of Christ, he didn't say maybe, perhaps. He said there's going to be signs, miracles, to where, if it were possible, and I know some disagree with me, that's what it says in the Greek. If it were possible, that's a good translation. It's not possible to deceive the elect, because they were chosen in the world that was. It was signed and sealed. But even they, if that were possible, that's how good he's going to be. So be alert. Especially in these last hours. Daniel warns you concerning the three horns, even of this hour. The third horn has almost disappeared beyond the horizon. And what was to follow this? This Antichrist. Okay, that's, we can see then that by Christ's teachings, and this is only one of the few places, that there shall be an Antichrist. It really behooves me to understand how people, as plain as Christ made it, that there would be an individual, personal Antichrist, imposter, play actor, posing himself or passing himself off to be Christ himself. I really don't understand how anyone with any intelligence at all in God's Word could not understand that. But then we know that God has blinded many with the spirit of stupa. But then someone is going to say to you, but we don't have to worry about that. We're going to be raptured out of here, raised right out. It's no thought for us to be upset about. Let's go to the teachings of Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And bear in mind, we've been through this many times, but the subject of this is what you are to be mentally prepared for. What you're going to see in the very near future. I would have failed miserably as a teacher, if I had not warned you, if I had not helped you prepare yourself whereby you could at least understand, because let me tell you something, even after the preparation and even after the prayer, your old heart is going to be beating like 90 per. All right? Your old heart, you're going to be so excited that it's going to be very difficult for you to even think for a moment. Of course, Daniel himself was accustomed to a great deal, but he fainted. He fainted when a fellow servant came upon him, you see. Many people think they are prepared. Many people haven't seen anything yet. But you're going to. You're going to. Okay, chapter 2 in this 2 Thessalonians is a beautiful chapter. This is the way you take away the rapture theory right before someone's eyes and bring into reality of what they must prepare themselves mentally for, still keeping this Antichrist in mind. Chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Now what did that say? It says, I want to talk to you, brethren, about Christ returning to this earth and our gathering to Him. In other words, that's the return of Christ. The first advent has already taken place at the time of this writing. This is the second, all right? That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter from us. This means 1 Thessalonians. This is the one. 1 Thessalonians is the one that most people build their so-called rapture theory on. All right? He said, don't you let that first letter from us shake you up, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, that there's pie in the sky and you're leaving out tomorrow. All right? Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Let me ask you a simple question. We won't even go into the Greek as to what son of perdition or apaleia means. What does reveal mean? It means to appear, to be made known. With verse 4. Now again, prepare yourself, beloved. What do the scholars, what does Paul say you must be prepared for? He has told you here, don't you let any man, the word of God, a letter I wrote you, or anything else deceive you about Christ returning, because there is one, the son of perdition, that man of sin must be revealed first. Now let's find out where. All right? Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, I don't think Paul could have simplified it any more than he did in that verse to indicate to you there is an Inita, an evil one, the son of perdition, going to come to Jerusalem where the temple of God is going to stand there in Jerusalem saying, I am God, I am Yahshua, I am the Christ. Now, I don't see that there's even any room or opening for argument, serious consideration, and or otherwise. That's what it says in the Greek. Also, you cannot get around it. You must prepare yourself mentally to expect this Antichrist before Christ returns, or there's any rapture, which there's not going to be, for he shall stand there to deceive your people. 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. When we were gathered together around the campfires and talking and speaking, I went into detail on these matters, don't you remember, he said. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Do you know what withholdeth? Do you know who the Kenites are? Do you know what the mark of the beast is? Do you know those things whereby you can reveal him or identify him when he comes? Do you know where he's coming to? Prayer alone won't do it. It's in God's Word, the living Word, and it must be revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. For all eyes other than God's elect and the kings and queens are closed to that beautiful truth in all its simplicity. So if you have ears to hear my words, then you better dig deeper for the possibility of you being one of God's elect is very good. Some might say, well, that's so simple, anyone could see it. No, that's not true, beloved, because most people, the majority, their ears and eyes are closed to that simple truth. And there's no amount of talk or anything else you can do, teaching or whatever, to convince them otherwise. Okay, continuing on. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Only the Almighty God allows this to happen because it just happens to be a part of his plan until he's ready to take Satan out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Who does Christ destroy with the brightness of his coming? It's really quite simple. The false prophet, the beast system, and Satan is thrown into the pit. His power is taken away from him. That answers itself. There's no mystery involved in it. 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs and lying wonders. This, of course, is that dragon. Beloved, let me tell you something. It is these lying wonders that I feel pressured to have you mentally prepared for. For you haven't seen anything yet. You've only seen the results of human beings. This one that is coming is supernatural. If you're used to, if you like little tricks like even seeing objects come off of the floor, if this impresses you, you'd better get yourself on guard because you better know what power moved the object. I'm saying you'd better be mentally prepared to know, for Satan's hour is soon. This is not the hour of Christ. It is Satan's hour. And these great miracles shall happen. Did it say, maybe there's going to be signs and miracles? No, it did not, beloved. It said, there shall be signs and wonders and miracles. So prepare yourself for it. The human nature of man likes to follow that that is exceptional. Wow, did you see that? Wow, that was something. Ooh, that was great. Well, you better prepare yourself to know what is of God and what is of Satan, for he is coming, and it could not be made any clearer to you. In conclusion, well, let's go just a little further with that, if we may. We were there in 2 Thessalonians 10 concerning that one. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, and for this cause God, who? God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Yes, our Father himself sends that delusion. Now, I want you to get a hold of that. If you don't prepare yourself mentally, God himself is going to deceive you, or cause you to be deceived. People like to play games. Let me tell you something. This is not the hour to play games. You study God's Word. You understand the truth, or you're going to worship Satan. You say, God wouldn't let that happen to me. He'll do it himself. He will send it upon you himself. That's what the book just said. All right? If you don't study the Word, if you don't study the plan, God's going to be unhappy with you and send delusion upon you. So we see in this the simplicity of what we must be prepared for. One thing in closing, Revelation chapter 13. This is concerning that religious beast. In verse 11 of that 13th chapter, and I read, "And I beheld another beast," this is the religious one, "coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He looked, if you would, like a lamb slain." He looked like Christ. "And he spake as a dragon." In other words, his voice, from within, he was rotten. From within, he was the dragon, which is that old serpent, which is Satan's play-acting the role of Antichrist. All right? "And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast," this is the one-world political system, "before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell upon the therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." In other words, this world political, one-world system that is healed will be put back into good working order by him. Now here it is again. "Prepare yourself mentally. And he doeth great wonders." so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight. Do you know what sight is? That's something that you observe visually in the sight of men, human beings. Human beings are not equipped to handle something like this. They're going to think it's the end of the world. They're going to think the Yahshua, the true Messiah, has returned. Beloved, remember what Paul said. Christ shall not return to this earth until this one we just read of stands in the holy place claiming to be Yahshua. Prepare yourself mentally for those miracles. Pray that the Holy Spirit will help you understand the Scriptures of God. For the Scriptures not only give you the location, they give you the events as they will be programmed for that moment. And I use the word programmed because our Heavenly Father has it programmed just to the letter, as, or even more so exact than our space shuttle is programmed to land perfectly back again, if you would, on a given point after all those many orbits. Our Father's plan is perfect. See that you are not deceived at that time. Be a champion of your people. Pray much. Listen to the Holy Spirit, but work. Study God's Word. These things happened many, many years ago as examples whereby you could read the hour and not be deceived. It takes all of it. It takes the spiritual. It takes the Word. It takes history. It takes it all put together to see that you're not deceived. See that you're not lacking in any of it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for the written Word. Father, we thank you. For it is thy Son who is the living Word, that Spirit that touches the eyes and ears and opens them, Father, to the truth of the events that are happening in this hour. We'll be careful to give you the praise for this in the name of Yahshua, thy Son and our Lord. Amen.